right. Well, thanks for having me here. I'm going to come at you from a different point of view. I'm going to come at you from a point of view of a space farming. And so there's going to be some different things to look at. And I'm going to talk about radiation use efficiency in wheat in controlled environments. The controlled environment is the space part, you know, because you're working in chambers, you're not working in the field. Oops.
Don't answer it.
Yeah. Page down. Okay, so radiation use efficiency. Here's a definition. It's estimated from cumulative dry mass versus the integrated intercepted radiation. It's useful because we can predict the biomass from simple measurement of intercepted PAR. And then if we know the harvest index, we can also predict yield. Monteith, 1977, used it to estimate the limits of climate on the productivity of British farms. So this is a while back. And then, he fit a line to some data. And with this relationship, we can analyze crop growth during the season in terms of radiation capture and the efficiency with which that radiation is used. So, you know, boom, we're in it. You know, we're studying what happens with the plants. So in controlled environments, first let me talk about what happens in the field. So in field situations, solar radiation hits a canopy, and then, you know, you have direct, diffuse, and downward scattering. The direct light, you know, is the solar, the beam, you know, from the sun, and then the diffuse radiation is coming from the sky. And then you might have some, you know, a few clouds and stuff in my... So you get very little diffuse light. And so there was many studies about, you know, well, Monteith had this RUE, and people started applying it to glasshouses, and very quickly found out that the RUE values obtained in glasshouses where diffuse radiation is higher didn't really, you know, they were higher than in the field. So what's going on here? So... you know, under direct sunlight, the top layers are capturing all the light, you know, but with diffuse light, the light's able to penetrate deeper in the canopy, so those leaves that are in the shade, the shaded leaves, now have a higher photosynthetic rate, and that increases your carbon uptake, and therefore contributes to higher radiation use efficiency for the same input of light. So Sinclair modeled this et al. In 1992. They were looking for maize and soybean, assuming a constant amount of diffuse radiation, and what they did is increase the direct beam. And this is a model that they came up with. And as you can see, that as you increase the diffuse radiation, the radiation use efficiency increase, and then they determine a 0.35 gram per megajoule increase as you went from about 0.5 to 0.3 increase in diffuse radiation. So it gives you a magnitude of how this behaves. So now I'm going to talk about controlled environment. You know, so the effect of diffuse radiation in RU will differ among the controlled environments. For example, if you're in the field, you have that the sun is hitting your chambers. For example, these are open-top chambers. You're going to have diffuse radiation in there, so you got to start worrying about the diffuse radiation inside your chamber. But it's still sunlight, and it's going to have the diffuse radiation from the sun, from the sky is going to be minimal, so whatever your chamber is doing to the beam to create that radiation, you can look at it that way. However, when we look at bigger chambers, you know, where you have lamps and you have, you know, cool white fluorescents or LEDs, you know, now most of your radiation is diffuse and it's coming in at high intensity. You're never going to find that in the field. And so, you know, up there is a 0.2 square meter chamber that's going to go to space. You know, the problem between this 20 square meter chamber and that one is the same. You have a lot of diffuse light, and it's all high intensity, and it's mostly diffuse, you know. And so there's a difference between these open top chambers and what you're going to what you're going to see in nature as well. But what I'm saying is we got to be aware of that. So what work has been done in controlled environments? And this is some work that's been done by Wheeler et al. in that 20 square meter chamber, NASA biomass production chamber. And you have radiation use efficiencies for soy of 2.7, potato 2.9, tomato 2.3, lettuce 2.1 megajoules per intercepted PAR. And then this is a wheat crop that I grew up with wheat, you know, but the goal is you only have this much table of area. You don't have hectares, so you got to maximize your yield. And so, you know, you can push the wheat to 20-hour light, 4-hour photo period. You could probably go 24 hours, but we needed to measure dark respiration. 62 days of growth, 1,400 micromoles of light, square wave. Our diffuse fraction is 0.7. We looked at two CO2s, hydroponic 23C, constant humidity. And so it's basically all you can eat. And it's also high planting density. You know, it's all you can eat growth because you got to maximize yield. And so under these conditions, we measure in ambient about 2.89 grams per megajoule per IPAR. And then at the elevated was about slightly higher than that, you know, but that's just the CO2 effect. I want to make sure that in these measurements, one important thing is we don't have side lighting. This is in 1957. Fritz Wendt, you know, this is a big problem. If you don't have that side lighting prevention, you're going to inflate your crop yields by 10-20%. So it's important to do that. So what I wanted to do now is I wanted to see, well, why are we getting, what's the effect of this high diffuse radiation at high intensities? What is it doing to the canopy? And so I made a spreadsheet over here of the Dupuy-Farquhar sunshade model. It looks at sunshade leaf illumination as the diffuse light, and I don't know if you can see this, and I'm having a hard time finding out where I'm at, but over here is diffuse light at 15%, and then at 0.7 where our chamber is, and then, you know, we got 1,400 micromoles coming in, and then you can just go down, here's shade, the LAI in the sun and shade leaves, and then here's the intensities that you would get. And so, you know, you can change these values up here and see what's happening in this graph. And so here I'm plotting gross photosynthesis in the diffuse light divided by direct. The direct is the 0.15. And as you can see, by increasing the fraction of diffuse light, you get a huge increase in your gross photosynthesis. So, you know. And then if you calculate the intensity of the light hitting the shade leaves, you see that it's going up. And so again, you know, you got deeper penetration in the canopy and you're getting, I mean, this is just a model, you know, for understanding what goes on. So radiation use efficiency increases as you increase the diffuse fraction. Here's the RUE. I only did it for a single day, you know, just to compare gross photosynthesis versus at 0.15 versus a 0.7. But this is important because, you know, you have control environment farmers, you know, the guys that are paying for all that money to illuminate their plants. Well, that means maybe they can get away with a lot less light, you know, and to show that how much more light you would have to supply to illuminate all those plants, this would be the incident light level that you would have to supply at this low diffuse light value to get the same yield as you would if you increase diffuse radiation. I mean, okay, so now I'm going to change gears a little bit. I wanted to talk about, does this happen in nature? You know, does it happen globally? Okay, so aerosols, dust or soot can affect the amount of quality of the amount and also the quality of the sunlight that can reach the earth, you know, through scattering. And so, you know, there's been documented for as aerosols have been increasing from 1950s to 1980s. You have seen, you know, more aerosols in the atmosphere, and there's been a dimming effect. So, and then this has also increased the diffuse radiation. So, I looked up these two papers, and then they showed that there was an increase in diffuse radiation globally, and then one of these peaks is the Pinatubo, you know, eruption. So that also benefited. And the red component here is the yield increase during that time frame due to diffuse radiation. So this is called diffuse radiation fertilization, you know, because you can enhance the with more light penetration, your canopy does better. And so to summarize, you know, the radiation at your surface, you got a beam and you got diffuse light. In nature, you know, you have diffuse light coming from the sky temperature. It's very low diffuse light. The aerosols can increase the amount of diffuse light. And in controlled environments, you have reflective walls and multiple lamps. It's mostly diffuse light, especially with LEDs. You don't even have the heat. You know, the heat is in the power supply somewhere else, not inside your chamber. And so high intensity diffuse light penetrates the canopy better, and you get increases in radiation use efficiency. And with that, if you have any questions. Well, you know, you block the, for example, let's say you have four lights, you have to block the direct, you put your power sensor and you block, you know, and you measure the remainder as a diffuse. You can do them, you know, there's those, I forgot what you call them, but.
Chain links.
Yes.
Yes. On Mars, the radiation.
Well, the way you got to look at radiation, if it's coming from the sun, it's free. So, you know, that means you don't have to bring your own lamps. And so there may be some supplemental lighting that you might have to do. But there's for the diets, we're not going to be growing wheat initially. It's going to be more supplemental diets for vegetables and those kind of crops. So, but yeah, I mean, there you can. If you had LEDs to supplement the lighting, it would be diffused.
All right. Well, good. Thanks, Oscar.
Yeah, you bet.